We find this phrase in the scripture, as for me. So I'd like to look at this a little bit with the help of the Lord. We live in a time in our world when we have a lot of automated things of everything. I remember when my mother got her first automatic dishwasher. It was like a cabinet on wheels, and it had this set of hoses that you pulled out of the back, and she had a special fitting that my dad had to install on the kitchen faucet, and she would load it up with dishes and move it over there, and it had a little quick connect that would snap on. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. And it would snap onto that faucet, and I can still see my mother turning the faucet on, let the water run until it got hot, and then she would click that thing on there and turn the pull out the extension cord and plug it in like a vacuum sweeper or something. But here it was, it sat in the kitchen, kind of the I don't know. I can't remember if she had a parking place for it or not, but I just remember it being kind of alongside the cabinet there and her loading her dishes in, and it would automatically wash the dishes. Well, I don't know if she was impressed with how it worked or not, but she used it quite a bit. She went ahead and done other things while it was washing. But how many of you today would want to wash clothes other than with an automatic washing machine? I can just imagine us going back to washing clothes by having a pot with maybe soapy water in or whatever, and boiling the clothes and punching them down in there and getting them, I say boiling, I don't know if it was actually boiling hot or not, but punching them down in there with some kind of long handle thing over a open fire and dragging them out of there and rubbing them on a board and rinsing them, going down to the river or something to rinse your clothes out. It's just, it would just be a lot of work, wouldn't it? And we're used to things being automatic and machinery doing a lot of the difficult tasks for us and the things that maybe would consume a lot of our time. And, you know, sometimes I feel like that people look on as on experience with God and with being a Christian, is we ought to have some kind of autopilot function, and you ought to be able to just get over here kind of close to the thing, and it just clean you up and turns over a new leaf and opens up a new door, and all it is opportunity and not opposition. You know, many times opportunity is on the backside of opposition. Many times the thing that looks like it's resisting you is opportunity. It's a thing to overcome. It's something that will become a strong point in a place of victory for us as individuals. So I want us to look at a level of commitment. So maybe you could say that my message, the subject of my message this morning with the help of the Lord, is about commitment. And what are you committed to? Well, I'm thankful for the commitment my parents made to providing a clean environment. My mother didn't come from she had a lot of background that wasn't so clean, not immorality and stuff, but just a lot of, it's pretty hard to have a really clean house if there's holes in the floor and if there's dirt on the floor and stuff like, you know, not There was no wood floor, okay? It was a dirt floor sometimes. Not for my mother, but, you know, it was, you come from those kind of backgrounds and you realize she really valued a clean house. My mother did. And she really valued having things in order and tidy, and she worked hard at it. I look back now that my mother really applied herself to have those things for her family. And sometimes we just want it. We just want the experience. We want the fulfillment. But what's our commitment to be in line for the fulfillment? So I'd like for us to look here at this passage of Scripture. We're going to begin reading in 1 Chronicles, the 28th chapter, in the first verse. And it's talking about David. Appears that the setting is towards the end of his life, toward the end of his reign as a king. And it says here in 1 Chronicles chapter 28, beginning in verse 1, we're going to get the setting. And David assembled all the princes of Israel, the princes of the tribes and the captains of the companies that ministered to the king by course, and of the captains over the thousands and the captains over the hundreds and the stewards over all the substance and possession of the king, and of his sons with the officers and with the mighty men and with all the valiant men unto Jerusalem. Now this is a leadership conference, if there ever was. This is where all of those that are in charge and those that are in a place of impact and leadership, this is where they're coming to. They're all, David assembled them all. He called them in, sent them invitations, maybe sent a messenger to say, you need to be at this place at this time. Don't miss it. I just can imagine there was some pretty high expectations for these people to be there. Then David the king stood up upon his feet, verse 2, and said, hear me, my brethren and my people. As for me, I had in my heart to build an house of rest for the ark of the covenant of the Lord and for the footstool of our God, and had made ready for the building. But God said unto me, thou shalt not build an house for my name, because thou hast been a man of war and hast shed blood. Howbeit the Lord of Israel chose me before all the house of my father to be king over Israel forever. For he hath chosen Judah to be the ruler of the house of Judah, and of the house of Judah, the house of my father, and among the sons of my father, he liked me to make me king over all Israel. And of all my sons, for the Lord hath given me many sons, he hath chosen Solomon my son to sit upon the throne of the kingdom of the Lord over Israel. And he said unto me, Solomon, thy son, he shall build my house and my courts, for I have chosen him to be my son, and I will be his father. Moreover, I will establish his kingdom forever, if he be constant to do my commandments and my judgments as at this day. Now therefore, in the sight of all Israel, the congregation of the Lord, and in the audience of our God, keep and seek for all the commandments of the Lord your God, that ye may possess this good land and leave it for an inheritance for your children after you forever. So, David made a decree, invited, solicited, commanded, whatever, this leadership conference. That's what people would probably say today. Got them all together in one place, and he begins to tell them where he's at. He says, as for me, I had in my heart to build an house of rest for the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. And then he goes through the explanation of how that God said, you just can't do it. You've had too much fighting going on in your life. I don't want you to build this house of worship. He said, but I realized that the Lord had chosen me to be king, and not just, I was really the least. I was the youngest. I was out tending the sheep. I was the one that God chose. And I realized all of that. And he said, not only that, but now he, somehow the Lord had given him the understanding that Solomon was to be his successor. And Solomon was the one. And he gave this challenge, if you will be true to God and follow his commandments, then I'll establish your kingship and you'll be able to pass on this good land to your children in the next generation, and they can pass it on to their children. And, you know, things were intact at this point in David's life, in him being king over all of Israel, over the all 12 tribes. So as we look down here, one of the things that I would like to just, a conclusion I'd like to make is that very few people would question whether David personally had a heart to please the Lord, would they? I think everybody would be in agreement that David wanted to be pleasing to God. And I believe that we all recognize that David had failures, but when he had failures, he was willing to take ownership and say, that was me. I'm the one that failed. And he was willing to take responsibility and work through whatever those shortcomings were to the point that he could, they could be resolved. He wanted to please the Lord. And we would say, where I came from, David did all he could to keep his nose clean. Well, if there was something that happened on the horizon, he was willing to address it. He was willing to take care of it. And David's aspirations were greater than just to stay out of trouble with the Lord. You know, there are those in the scripture and there are those in our time that they just don't want to be in trouble. They're not looking for a place to really be of service to God. They just don't want to, they just don't want to be in trouble with God. And I want to challenge us to make, to examine our commitment. What are we really wanting? Just to stay out of trouble with God? Are we willing to make a commitment to be of real benefit and asset to Him? David said, as for me, I had it in my heart to do something. And this had it in his heart to do something was bigger than a personal aspiration. He wanted to be a blessing to God's cause. And he says, as for me. And I want us to think about what it means to make that level of commitment. As for me, I'm determined. I'm willing. I'm not talking about saving ourselves or anything like that, but I'm talking about looking out in the future. David said, as for me, I had this objective. I wanted this. The Lord had kept this tabernacle intact for many, many years. It was built in Moses' time, and it was still intact. They were still worshiping in with this tabernacle, this thing made of all those curtains and all of those kind of things. But he said, I want to build something that's substantial, that's something that's more of a permanent structure. We've arrived in the Canaan land, and I want to make that commitment. As for me, I'd purposed in my heart to build a house of rest for the Ark of the Covenant. I want something, a permanent place. So what do you want? You want just a tabernacle? Just get by? I know that this old world is not our permanent residence, and I'm full of agreement with the song, this world is not my home. This is not where I'm going to stay. I want a place in eternity. I want to lay up my treasures over there. But I want us to think about what we can do for the cause of God today. What's my commitment? What am I willing to commit to? Well, the cause is bigger than just me. It's bigger than just getting by and staying out of trouble. As for me, he said, I had this desire to build something that was permanent, that was a shelter, that was a place of what did he say? An house of rest for the Ark of the Covenant. David had, if you read the rest of this chapter, you would find that David had a list of materials. He had materials accumulated. He not only had that, but he had detailed plans. All Solomon had to do was look at the blueprints that David had drawn. I believe God inspired him. You know, that tells me something. He had really made a commitment. We get together for a big project. I've been blessed to be to participate in some big building projects. Maybe not as big as some out there, but amazing to see how much can get done in a short amount of time. And one of the reasons that it happened is someone done a whole bunch of homework. Someone had made some commitment and said, as for me, I'm going to do everything I can to make sure this goes smoothly. Somebody made sure materials was there. Somebody made sure the tools was there. Someone made sure the measurements was right. And someone made sure that we don't start on the roof before the walls get up. You know, they had it all in order here so that when the people like me that showed up that were the non-skilled people, they could say, here's your job. Go do this. And when you need another one, come see me again. And they had it. David was that way. He said, as for me, I had it in my heart to build this place of rest for the temple, for the Ark of the Covenant. So he had put this plan together, I believe with the inspiration, I believe God inspired him. You know, the more we apply ourselves, the more inspiration God will give us. The more we yield ourselves to Him and saying, Lord, what can I do? I want to be committed. As for me, I'm in. I want to be an asset. I want to be an instrument in your hand. What do you want to use me for? If it's little or great, whatever you want me to do, I'm willing. And the Lord can give inspiration. You know, I don't feel like that David would have ever got that if he had not made the commitment. I don't think he would have had the plans. I don't believe he would have had the materials if he hadn't have had this, as for me, commitment. I think about others in the scripture that stood out. You know, it doesn't use that phrase, but Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah had that commitment, didn't they? They got down there in the land of captivity and they had said, as for me, I'm just not going. I can't partake of this other thing. I don't know what the Lord has for me. It sure looks like we're going to the wrong place and we're in the wrong. This is not what we ought to be, where we ought to be. But as for me, I'm not going to partake. And the Lord blessed them and used them multiple times. And today we still use them as examples of people that had high levels of commitment to the cause of God. So, as individuals, I believe that we have to, there's some people that's made a real high as for me commitments. I think of those that have said, as for me, I'm going to be pleasing to the Lord. And their spouse has not chosen to do that. I've had those in my own family. I've watched this over the years. I've watched it play out from a young child to myself being an adult. I've watched my aunt make that commitment. I'm going to be true to the Lord. I am going to be faithful. I am not giving up. And I watched her live in a home with a husband that did not make that commitment. And I'm telling you, she didn't have an easy life. But I'm telling you, the Lord blessed her. And she is an icon to me today of someone that said, as for me, I'm going to be pleasing to the Lord. I'm going to find a place that I can be a blessing to other people. And we as individuals have to make that. Thankfully, for the most of us, we don't have to make those commitments independently of our spouse. We have a spouse that will want to support us and go and be there with us. And that's such an incredible asset. When both of you are working together for this common cause, how do we help the Lord's cause? And we're committed together so that our home is sending one harmonious, it's a harmonious atmosphere of godliness instead of one of you trying to present a godliness and the other one just could care less, and we're out to have a good time or gratify myself or something like that. But when we can have the close working together of a husband and wife, and both of you have this commitment, as for me, I'm going to serve the Lord. As for me, I want to see the cause of God be furthered and advanced. You know, that's an incredible asset. But it really starts with us as individuals. As for me, where's your commitment today? Where are you at in your desire? I want to live for the Lord. I want to be pleasing to Him. As for me, I've got my mind made up, as the song says. And my foot's on the rock. Is it? Is your foot on the rock? Is your mind made up? Is your commitment there? You know, I feel like, unfortunately, that I don't want to be a gloomy person by any means, but we've had it easy. And there may be right around the corner, there may be opportunity for us to have our commitment really tested with the way the world is all around us. Are we there? Is our foot on the rock? Is our mind made up? Have we got it settled? As for me, I'm going to be pleasing to the Lord. Now I want us to turn back a little bit in the scripture to the book of Joshua, a very familiar passage of scripture, probably because I've read it to you a lot, but Joshua, the 24th chapter, 15th verse, where Joshua here again had assembled the people. I believe it was all of the people, not just a leadership conference, and he had read the law to them, and it said to them in verse 15, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." So what I see in this verse, it's the same phrase. I know I'm putting some trust in the translators here, but the best I can tell, the Hebrew that was translated here in the book of Joshua and over there in 1 Chronicles is comes from the same Hebrew words. I'm not an expert by any means, but they translate, "But as for me," is the same phrase here. So Joshua had this same level of commitment. As for me, we're going to serve the Lord. But he went a little further. He says, "As for me and my house, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Joshua was in a position that he could say, "Not only myself, but my house." I don't think it was an accident, and I don't think it was some kind of brash statement. I've been in those situations where the leader, a place I worked one time, had our, I don't know what you would say, our manager, our leader, our supervisor, I don't know what you'd say his title was, service manager. He got all of us that were the mechanics and the technicians together, and he gave us quite a pep talk. And one of the things he said is from now on, this is the way it's going to be. And he had something that he was trying to get sorted out. I can't remember what had happened that caused the state of emergency altogether, but I just remember this statement. But as from now on, it's going to be like this. Well, it was kind of a spur of the moment thing, and it wasn't as effective as I think he wanted it to be. But Joshua, it was different here. He said, "It's for me and my house," and this is why I think it was different. My understanding is that there was a prophetess and a prophet that was a man and a woman in the Old Testament that were descendants of Joshua. You ever heard of the prophetess Huldah and the prophet Jeremiah? They were pretty much contemporaries. But my understanding is that they were descendants of Joshua. I wonder how many times they thought about, you know, they lived at the time of, at the end of the era of the kings, and Joshua was at the very beginning before even the judges. So there was a vast expanse of time between Joshua's life and Jeremiah's life. You know who Jeremiah was. He was a weeping prophet. He was the one that was in Jerusalem when the Babylonians carried everyone off to Babylon. He was at the very end of that little section of timeline, and Joshua was before there was ever a king. But Joshua says, "But it's for me and my house. We're going to serve the Lord. We're going to make a commitment." And I want to challenge us today, especially you young folks here, to be in a position to make the kind of statements that Joshua did. "But it's for me and my house." So I want to read you something that a commentator said about this verse. Commentator's name is John Gill. He says, "Be your choice as it may be." He's talking about the words that Joshua had said. This was the resolution of Joshua, and so far as he knew, the sense of his family or had influence over it could and did speak for them, which he observes and is as an example for the Israelites to follow after. He, full well knowing that the examples of great personages, such as governors, supreme and subordinate, have great influence over those that are under them. You as parents, as young parents, and you bring children into your home, I'm going to tell you, have great influence over them. I want to challenge us to be in a place, first as an individual, as for me, I'm going to live for the Lord. As a graduate, you get away from school and all the supervision and all the requirements, and we have to have that commitment. It'll keep us on the right path. In Joshua 31, you know, remember what the people said, 24 and 31. I want to read that, but before I do that, I want to notice here, in verse 21, Joshua 24 and 21, "And the people said unto Joshua, Nay, but we will serve the Lord." You know how long that lasted? The reality was it lasted about 15 or 20 years. That's not very long. If you're only 20, that seems like that's a long time. But when you're at the last end of middle age, it don't seem like it's been very long. Somebody says, well, I've been married for 20 years. Some of y'all have been married over twice that long. It's like 20, that's, well, you're just barely getting started. Don't seem like very long. And then, you know, what would it have been like if the Israelite people would have really been able to do that? When they said, nay, Joshua told them, y'all are not in a position to really serve the Lord. And they said, nay, we will. We're going to serve the Lord. We're going to make that commitment. But they really didn't have that individual as for me. If they'd had it, you know, history would be different. History would be different. I don't know what all would be different, but it would be different. Did you know that the history that we're writing today, we have an opportunity by the grace of God, that amazing grace that enables us, we have an opportunity to change history? Because 20 years from now, what we're doing today will be history. 20 years from now, if I'm still here, I'll be in my 70s. And 50s will be history. And I got an opportunity right now to shape history. And you've got an opportunity. Lord, help us to have more commitment than the Israelites had. Because in verse 31, it says, and Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that overlived Joshua, which had known all the works of the Lord that he had done for Israel. It's talking about the elders. Well, who are the elders? As a general rule, you don't think of an elder being someone in their youth, do you? They were up in years. So how long do elders live? Not very long. If they lived 20 years after this, that would have been kind of a young elder at the time. Would you agree? It would be today if we said, well, they're an elder. Well, 20 years from now, they're probably not going to be here. That's just reality of time. If someone's considered an elder today, very likely they won't be here in 20 years. And it says they lived, Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that overlived Joshua, which had known all the works of the Lord that he had done for Israel. But then what happened? They got into trouble. They didn't have that as for me. And they certainly didn't have it as for me in my house. So my challenge this morning is that we would make the level of commitment. I remember some of the commitments that my parents made. I remember some that my mother, one in particular that my mother told me about. Maybe it's not the best to share it right here, but she told me about a commitment she made when I was very, very young, a few days old, and told other people. And it was like, ooh, that's a strong commitment. You know, strong commitments, if we really mean it, they can change the history that you're writing. And I want to challenge us to make a strong commitment for the Lord. As for me, how's it going to be as an individual? Well, is it going to be as long as it's automatic? As long as it turns out good. What happens when you put something in the dishwasher and it comes out with something on it? I don't know about your dishwasher if you've got one, but A lot of times they don't do real good on peanut butter. If you got the spoon that you dipped the peanut butter with and you didn't lick it off real good and you put it in the dishwasher and put it on the normal cycle or the light duty cycle, if it's a spoonful of peanut butter, I probably, after it runs through the dishwasher, it's probably still got a spoonful of peanut butter on there. And if it's got a big old hunk of something else, maybe from a baking pan, or maybe you burnt some eggs in a skillet or pan or something like that, probably still be on there. Automatic. It just it's not like elbow grease, all right? Automatic dishwashers are not like elbow grease. And you get stuff out of there and it's got a hunk of something on it, guess what you got to do? You got to go back and you got to really make some commitment to get it off of there. You got to put some effort into it. You know, we can have the mindset, as long as it just is flowing and it's everything, I'm in. You know, when I'm feeling encouraged and everything is going my way, count me in. I enjoy being right there. But I'm going to tell you, there's some times that it's not going to be so automatic. There's going to be some times that it's like, oh, I got to lick this calf over. I'm going to have to go back and I don't know. Y'all can lick out the spoon after it's been through the dishwasher if you want to, but I'm probably not going to. I'm probably going to use something else to scrape it out. I'm going to do something and get it out. I might run it through the dishwasher again, but I'm going to do something to clean that spoon out. I want us to make those commitments. Lord, be like David. When David was caught in his error and his the things that weren't like it should have been, he said, that was me. That was me, Lord. I can see myself. Can you see yourself? I can see myself and I don't like it. And whatever it takes, Lord, I want to fix it. That's commitment, folks. That's the as for me. And when I'm willing to say, as for me, I had it in my heart to be pleasing to the Lord. And if I fail Him, Lord, help me to be able to go back and make amends for my failures. If I've come up short, as for me, my commitment is I'm going to be pleasing to the Lord. And if I have to go back and lick my spoon out again, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do what it takes. I want to read my title clear. And not only that, I want us to be in a place that where we can say with confidence, as for me and my house, put yourself in a place. Don't just try to capitalize on the moment, but day by day, by your commitment, create the atmosphere where you can say, as for me and my house, this is where we're headed. We're going to serve the Lord. I want it to be longer than that 15 or 20 years. I wonder, are we willing to cultivate the atmosphere in our home, in our peer group, where we can say with a level of confidence, as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. I remember those that were teenagers with me, one man in particular, my age bracket, today, he didn't keep true to that as for me. Had a lot of heartache in his life. I wonder sometimes if he ever thinks, I wish I'd have had more commitment. I wished I hadn't have got away. I have to think that he'd like to. I'd like to turn to the New Testament now, to the book of St. John, and I'd like to look at an example of someone that had an impact on those around him. We'll try to bring this to a close real quickly here. In St. John, the 21st chapter, appreciate your patience this morning and kind of have it paid as close attention to the clock as I should have. John, the 21st chapter, setting here is Jesus has been crucified. The rumor is that he is resurrected from the dead, but there's a lot of uncertainty. You know, we're going to face uncertainty in our life. We're going to face times when we're not real sure how this is going to end up. And we're right in the middle of, what are we going to do now? If you know what I'm talking about. It's one thing when everything is going good and it's on automatic, but then it's another thing when the automatic don't do so good. Maybe it's pumping water out on the floor, and maybe it's making funny noises, and now what are you going to do? Well, it's time to, what's my commitment? You know, if your wife says, honey, the dishwasher's running water out on the floor, and you hit the door and say, I'm out of here, I'm not going to drown, I'm going to tell you, you're not going to win any awards for that one. You're going to have a better plan. You're going to have some commitment to say, we've got to figure out how to shut it off. You know, turn the water off to that thing. You need to know where the valve is. If you don't, you might go home and check where that's at, because you're liable to have a time. I've woke up in the middle of the night and heard water running, and when I get up, it's in the floor. You know, that's not a very happy time, but it's not a time to run off and say, see ya, I'm not going to be here. That's not the time. We've got to have more commitment than that. And John said this, after these things, Jesus, first verse, shewed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise shewed he himself. So this is how it happened. He showed himself to his disciples. Now we're going to skip back. You know, sometimes you read books and you read along, and then all of a sudden it jumps back and gives you an explanation of what was going on. So that's what happened here. He said, this is how he done it. He said, they were together. Who's together? Simon Peter and Thomas, called Didymus. Now we already know we call him Doubting Thomas, right? And Nathanael of Cana and Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee. So that'd be James and John, and two other of his disciples. So there was quite a number of them. And so Peter, Simon Peter, saith unto them, I go fishing. And they saying to him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. Did you know that your commitment, as for me, is going to impact other people? Peter could have said something totally different. He could have said, why don't we have prayer? I don't know where Jesus is, and I know that we've had all these kind of rumors and all of that. Let's ask the Lord to reveal himself to us. He could have done that, but he didn't. You know what he said? I'm going to say it in my way. I don't know what's going on, but I'm going to go fishing. I don't know how this is all going to end up. I'm going to tell you what. If the water's on the floor, I'm out. I'm not a plumber. I'm a mechanic. Or I don't, whatever. You call somebody. I'll tell you, that's not the way to win the applause and approval of your spouse. And so Peter just said, I go fishing. And what did the others say? We go also. We also go. We'll go with you. Sounds like a good idea to me. I'm disappointed too. You know, you're going to face disappointments in life. You're going to find those times when you say, oh, I wished it was going good. I wished it was on automatic, and you put in the dirty dishes and take out the clean ones, and no peanut butter. I wished it was all just like just falling into place, but there's going to be times when it's not. And that's when we really got to check our commitment. What am I in this for? You can say, Well, I don't know about all those people down there. Well, I'm going to tell you, I don't know if I can swallow that or not. And you know what your children's going to say? I don't think I can either. I don't know. I just don't think that, I don't know if I need to do that or not. I don't think I do either. I'm going to tell you. You think as adults we have an influence. You think what kind of impact you have on children. They're going to be just like daddy. They're going to be just like mama. And we can either give them some incredible assets that'll strengthen them, or we can give them a hang up that they have to deal with. And every time they face, whether it be commitment or whatever it is, they have to struggle and overcome that. I think about a song in our book, number 150. I don't know if I have a book up here or not, but the name of the song is My Heart's Desire. And I've been impressed with the words of this song many times in my life, but it says here, let me walk in the path which my Savior hath trod. Let me follow so close by His side. For by trusting in Him, I am happy and free. In the fold of His love, let me hide. He says, verse 2, let my heart e'er be fixed on my treasures above. Let the pleasures of earth fade away, for there's nothing so lovely as Jesus to me. Let me ne'er from His love go astray. As for me. You know, if your commitment to the Lord is strong, it'll show. And if your desire to be more like the world in your deeds, in your actions, in your dress, it'll show. And we can all do like Peter did when he said, I go fishing. Our choices will impact others, our immediate family, and then those around us. Whether we say it or not, it begins with, as for me, as for me. And then it's, as for me in my house. And then it's for me in those that I'm around. I want to set the tone. Are we willing to set the tone? I'm challenged, folks. I know I have opportunity to set a tone in the places that I'm at. And you do too. And I want to challenge us this morning to set the tone that Joshua did, that David did, and not be like Peter. I don't want us to be like someone that says, I don't know, but I'm telling you, there's water in the floor and I'm leaving. I'm out. Y'all need to call somebody that can handle it, because I'm off. I'm out of here. Lord, help us to have a stronger commitment than that. You pray for me. I want to be faithful.